Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Christian Rivas. He writes with me at Silver Screen and Roll. He is Lonzo Wires Shams. How you doing, Christian?
I'm doing all right, Anthony. How are you doing today?
I'm freaking tired, man. Media day sucks.
Oh, yeah. I tweeted earlier today that my job is often rewarding and sometimes fun, but media day is none of those things. I have not felt an ounce of joy. Seeing LeBron James in a Lakers uniform doesn't make up for what I had to do today.
It sounds like I saw shit, man.
It was bad.
I've been through some stuff.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like I thought there was some stuff to take away from it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about LeBron. We're going to talk about some of the narratives that have gone into LeBron as a Laker and this entire Lakers team right now getting kind of just completely obliterated by some of the quotes. Now, it's only quotes, and we'll talk about that in segment two, but to this point, those narratives have taken serious hits. And then since I have Lonzo Shams here, JBL Shams, is it JBL or JBA?
JBA, the Junior Basketball Association. Brought to you by LeVar Ball himself. Never lost.
Big Ball
changes the game.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Lonzo in segment three. He was. I would almost say the central kind of subject today, aside from LeBron. But I thought Lonzo got a ton of attention. Him and Kuzma especially. But we're going to get to all of that here in a bit. Today's show is brought to you by a new partner with Locked On Lakers. It's Mazuma USA. They do accounting, bookkeeping, taxes, all that good stuff. I'll talk about them a little bit after segment one. Let's jump into this thing, though. LeBron was asked about expectations with this specific team, and he did all but, like, literally get up and run from the podium for the question. He made sure to temper those expectations as much as possible, and as smart as it was, both these things can be true. It can be the right move. It can be the intelligent PR move, but it can also be noteworthy. How did you take that? When I heard him talking about it, I was actually kind of surprised.
I was too, because I think he made comments prior to today saying my goal every year is to win a championship, and that's why I play basketball. But I also think, and I think his experience with the Cavaliers helped him go into this mode a little bit, where at least in the second half of the season, where he was talking about, this is a brand new roster and I play in the Western Conference with the Golden State Warriors that just added DeMarcus Cousins and basically kept their core together. I mean, literally kept their core together, mm-hmm. together. I don't know what I'm saying, basically, but I think he's saying like, hey, we're going to compete. We're going to be out there every night playing as hard as we can, but I can't guarantee a championship because I'd sound like a crazy person if I did that. And I think for, the more, I'm trying to think of a kind word for them. I guess the more optimistic fans are looking at LeBron James and saying, I literally had a quote under my story saying, trade LeBron now. He's not a winner.
Oh my God.
Because he can't guarantee a championship in year one. But mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, he's saying, educated things, the right things.
Yeah, I completely agree. The other thing, too, living up to expectations is exhausting, especially when they're as high as they always are with LeBron. Like, he is in, year 15 or 16 at this point?
Yeah, going into 16.
And throughout his 16-year career, his expectations have been through the roof. And, I think this is one of the first years where he can actually correctly, rightfully kind of temper those things a little bit. And I'd jump at that opportunity if I was him. I am one of my lifelong mottos is make sure expectations are low and then somehow or figure out ways to overcome those lowered expectations. And I think that's kind of what he's doing here. And again, what it comes down to for me is, yes, it's not the typical rah-rah championship or bust stuff, but championship or bust mentalities are stupid. We've realized if you're a sports fan, chances are you have a 1 in 30 chance in at winning a title at just about heading into just about every year. Now those things obviously waver. They go up and they go down based on the quality of the team. But for the most part, you're not gonna walk away from most years of being a sports fan thrilled if all you care about are championships. Like, I'm really excited to just watch the development of this team. I think he's excited to be a part of that development. And it kind of comes back to, and this can kind of segue into it, but it kind of gets back to this idea of LeBron is later into his career. I think he kind of wants to see, like, what it looks like to watch other guys develop around him. He wants to empower those younger players. He wants to empower his teammates, period. And I think the best way to do that right now from where he's sitting and what can be done right now is to temper those expectations and make things as easy as possible on the guys around him.
I also think it's a little bit of him not trying to sound like CJ McCollum on his podcast with Kevin Durant, where, you know, he's talking about the Trailblazers couldn't win a championship. And it's like, Kevin Durant's like, no, you can't. You know you can't.
Yeah.
I exist. That's not going to happen. And yeah. I think that's mostly what it is him being aware. I think things can certainly change during the season. Like you said, if the young guys do develop on a fast track playing alongside LeBron James, like many expect them to. But yeah, it's definitely they're in a different realm than the Golden State Warriors right now.
Yep, I completely agree. All right, we're gonna jump over to the narrative surrounding the Lakers since LeBron has been signed and the hits that those narratives have taken. But first, I want to talk to you guys about Mazooma. They are a brand new partner. I've been working with them for a while now, getting my finances kind of situated and figured out, taxes all aligned and bookkeeping and all of that. And they have been absolutely fantastic. I work with Carly over there. She has been great. What you got to do if you're interested in looking at Mazooma's products, you got to call 213-947-6926. Write that number down. It's 213-947-6926, and they can set you up with whatever you want. Jen and I both do some work as independent contractors. She does some side work as a physical therapist, and then obviously just about everything that we do in this industry is under the title independent contractor. So sometimes those taxes can get kind of interesting. You got to write off a bunch of stuff. You got to file quarterly taxes, all of that. Mazooma, Carly, all of them over there have been absolutely fantastic in setting me up. It's actually been fun to watch it all take place and come to this point that it currently is. And I'm thoroughly organized to be able to move forward. So again, dial that number, 213-947-6926. Tell them Locked On Lakers or Anthony over here at Locked On Lakers sent you, and they'll get you all situated. So that's Mazooma USA. Dial that number, 213-947-6926. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk about those narratives taking hit after hit after hit. So when LeBron first signed, it was all I care about, or all he cares about supposedly, was his off-court business ventures. And then it became, well, if he does care about basketball, he's not going to be interested in playing with kids. And, well, if he's interested in kids, it's only going to be for the short term. They better produce right away. He's not going to deal with any immaturity, or the kids are too immature to play with him. Thus far, just about every single one of those narratives have taken hits, and I thought it was particularly interesting to yesterday, by the time you guys are listening to this, that LeBron like was openly frustrated with the line of questioning there and continuing to go back to the well of, like, you have all these projects, they're very public projects, are you going to be able to focus on basketball? He was kind of sort of a dick, and I can't quite blame him. Like, I'd be really frustrated if I kept getting the same question. There's only so many ways you can say, no, I'm actually focused on basketball. And like, the other thing is, what do you anticipate he's going to say there? Like, LeBron's going to stand in front of everybody and say, you know what, Space Jam 2 calls for me to be out of shape, so I'm gonna recreate my body. I'm actually going to come into next season kind of fat and maybe play myself into shape as the movie moves along. Like, what's he going to say there?
The biggest thing to me is that people act like LeBron James is Steven Spielberg, where he's going to be really hands-on involved in all of these projects, like behind the camera. And I don't think that's the case, at least not during the regular season. I mean, it's you know, and I think the hardest thing for LeBron James to do is not be arrogant and say, "What are you talking about? I'm LeBron James. Like, do you know who I am?" And it's we've seen players do that. Like Russell Westbrook did that today, and he's been like that with the media. But I think LeBron James is just so self-aware of the way he can look when he does that. You know, he's just not going to be the guy to do that. But yeah, he was definitely frustrated, and I'd be frustrated with the questions too. It's like, you're questioning my ability to do my job after I've been in the finals for 8 years. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I found myself getting frustrated. Like, guys, move on. You know, like sometimes there's, you can kind of, when you're listening to an interview, you can tell that the subject of the interview just doesn't want to follow along that same line of questions. I wanted somebody to kind of like step in and get the focus back to basketball. But by the time it actually got there, or anybody was interested in doing that, he was very obviously done with the interview. Like he was just, all right, I want to move on. And when he hopped onto Spectrum Sportsnet, when he was at the desk with Geeter and with Cat, with Worthy, and I am blanking on
Allie Clifton.
Allie Clifton, thank you. I was going to call her Callie, but she's not Callie. Allie Clifton, who was going to be great. He lit up again when they started talking about basketball and the roles and mentorship and all those things. Like that's the stuff that he was interested in talking about. And it's one thing, I get that the question needs to be asked, but eventually, like, have a little bit of self-awareness here, guys. Like, let's actually get a couple quotes from this guy who seemed heading into this entire ordeal extremely excited to be a Laker.
Yeah, and I think there's a sense of disbelief with, you know, the not just the questions, because like you said, it's a hot topic whether or not he's going to be able to be focused on basketball while he's here, because the whole narrative was, like you said, the fact that he came here to make movies. And I think for a lot of people, it's hard for them to hear that he just wants to play basketball. Like, he signed with the Lakers because he wanted to play basketball and wanted to be one of the legendary players to put on a Lakers uniform. And I think when he's hopped on a Spectrum and they asked him, you know, putting on this jersey mean anything to you more than it has you putting on other jerseys? And his face lit up like, yeah. Yes, thank you. I've been waiting for somebody to ask me that question. Absolutely. I am super excited to be part of this organization because it's a legendary organization. And those are the quotes, you know, that people want to hear, that LeBron James wants to be a Laker.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up him talking about the Lakers as different, because look, I get it. If I was a fan of another team, I would be insanely, I don't think jealous is the right word for it, because that would make people hate me even more, but I would get extremely annoyed by all of the Lakers exceptionalism that exists out there. But when LeBron goes on there and says, like, just putting on a Lakers jersey and playing, you know, playing for an organization run by Magic Johnson, sitting next to James Worthy with all of the bangers hanging up there, like, this just feels different. That doesn't mean it necessarily means more, though he kind of sort of said it did. It's just when people kind of push away at Lakers exceptionalism, that's kind of, those are the quotes that I point to. Like, no, this is why, when people say he just came because he wanted to be a Laker, well, yes, that's actually a compliment. He came because he wanted to be a Laker because the Lakers have worked their tails off to get to this place in the first place. Otherwise, they'd be the Clippers. They'd be the Chargers. They'd be the Rams, right? You have to earn the ability to be exceptional. And now that they are, they're reaping the rewards of it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's, you know, like you said, not to to throw the word jealousy out there, but it's definitely very different around here.
Yeah, I completely agree. The last thing that I wanted to talk about really quickly before we move on to Lonzo specifically was the technique that he was talking about in regards to mentoring the kids. He said that basically on certain days, they're going to take different younger Lakers. And I thought that was really interesting. And it again kind of followed along this theme that LeBron has pushed out there of sharing the burden. He doesn't want to be the sole creator on offense. He doesn't want to be the driving force throughout the organization. He wants to share this responsibility as well. And I found that really interesting. Now detractors are going to say, well, he wants to share that burden because he's focused on his other projects, which, like, okay, hater. But if you really get down to it, I also think it's actually logically sound to do this, because over the course of an 82-game season, if you hear the same voices over and over and over again who are trying to mentor you, they're going to become kind of like the Charlie Brown, like, what want thing. And it was – I found that really interesting. Did you pick up on that as well?
I did, and I think it's more LeBron James doing what LeBron has already done and kind of just – deflect all the attention from him. I think he wants to really hammer home the point that the Lakers, whether, you know, fans agree or not, brought in veterans that they thought could be a valuable supporting cast with a championship experience or whatever. I think that's what LeBron is trying to promote. It's saying, look, I'm not the only one that's been in this league for 10 plus years. I have teammates that have done that too. Teammates that can probably relate to these kids more, because not everybody came into the league being LeBron James. Not everybody came in as the number one pick in the draft. So I think it's just an understanding that, one, it's not fair to put that whole burden on himself, but it's also just better to spread the wealth, because as knowledgeable as LeBron James is about basketball, there's just some things he doesn't know that maybe his teammates might know.
Yeah, I completely, yes. That's why all-time great players don't usually make the best coaches, because there's a lack of relatability there. LeBron can't quite relate to the average human being or even the average NBA player, but, you know, other guys who are on that roster can. And I thought one of the very best examples of that relatability was between Rajon Rondo and Lonzo Ball. So we're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the amount that people were talking about Lonzo Ball, but also specifically the dynamic between him and Rondo, which both guys sound really excited to take part in. So hang tight. So just about everybody who spoke during Lakers media day said something about how much bigger Lonzo Ball looked. And just about everybody watching it, anybody tweeting it, looked at him when he was getting ready for pictures, when he was sitting up there on the set. Like, especially when he was sitting up there on the set, I thought it was a lot more noteworthy, because, like, when you're getting ready for pictures, you can flex and you can do all those things. Lonzo can't sit up there on set and, like, have his arms postured for the entire time. He looked different. He spoke differently. I thought he was even more comfortable in front of the cameras than he was last year, and that's kind of saying something. But how were you from where you were sitting, and given how close an eye you have to keep an eye on this stuff, how did you take in media day as it relates to Lonzo Ball?
I think that the first thing that popped out to me was obviously how much stronger his upper body looked. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've yet to see how it's going to translate onto the court, but I mean, looking at his rookie media day to now, it's night and day. I mean, guy has good genes. I don't know if you've seen a younger picture of LeVar Ball, but yeah, he makes Lonzo Ball look, pretty tiny, but man, he looked great. And I think, you know, we saw this with, not to bring up a sensitive subject for you, but we saw this with Julius Randle last year. He used the offseason to completely transform his body, because that's something the front office really emphasized, not just last season, but the season before that, saying, you guys are professional basketball players and athletes. You need to come into camp in the best shape of your lives. You need to make a commitment every summer to be in the best shape of your life. And I think we heard that, of course, Lonzo did that, and we heard the same thing about Kyle Kuzma. So I think it's a good sign that the young core is, you know, taking these notes and taking them to heart.
It was interesting, while Lonzo was talking to the guys at Spectrum, they were playing some clips from last season where he was specifically about his shooting motion. And that was one of the questions of, like, it looks like you've made tweaks to your shot. And he kind of downplayed that. and said that it was more in effect of his increased upper body strength, that he doesn't have to, I think the quote was, fling the ball or sling as badly as he did last year. And you really saw it side by side when they showed him in games last year versus in workouts and practices so far this offseason. That's huge. And if you combine that with all the other benefit of being stronger in the upper body is guys start bouncing off of you in when you're driving to the basket. And those were his two, I think, weakest aspects of his game last year. If those two things get better and he maintains his ability on defense, you're talking about one of the more impactful players at his position already in year two. He just needs to stay healthy and do those things.
Yeah, that, definitely. And I think the fact that because his jump shot is what it is, it looks a lot better than it is than it was last year. Mm-hmm. But you know, it always is going to be what it is. The fact that, say, for his jump shot, the biggest hole in his game you can point to last season was this kid just needs to get stronger. That is a really, really good sign for the Lakers, because everywhere else on the floor, he looked tremendous. I mean, nobody expected him to be, the borderline elite defender he was on the floor last season. And if the strength is going to help his jump shot to where he's not, you know, catapulting the ball to the front of the rim anymore, he doesn't have a ceiling. I mean, it's really just down to that. He's going to be a remarkable player if he can just figure that out.
And if you're, again, I always come back to, now that LeBron is on the Lakers, you now have to start kind of identifying talents that fit best around him. And at Lonzo's position, like, I've always thought that Jrue Holiday is the best point guard to fit alongside LeBron because he's good at the point of attack on defense. He's bigger. He's a strong guy. He shoots effectively pretty well. He can play off ball if absolutely need be. Lonzo can do a lot of those things, especially in that last one, playing off ball, and the amount of tape that he's been taking in, whether it's working with Rondo, whether it's been talking to Magic, whether it's been a combination of those two things, as Pelinka alluded to at their intro press conference, all of these things, like if you're checking down the things that you've wanted to hear this offseason, and aside from his health, which was kind of confusing, right? Like, he kind of said at first that he's been cleared, and then Trudell tweeted out after the fact that he hasn't been. It wouldn't surprise me if by the time, if you guys are listening to this on tomorrow afternoon, that we found out he was actually fully cleared and can actually participate in 5-on-5 stuff. Like, so far, in these last couple days, we've heard just about everything that we need to hear from him. We just need to see it translate to the court, which hopefully we should be seeing fairly soon. Regarding Rondo and Lonzo, though, a question or a topic on Lakers Twitter from yesterday was, is it actually a bad thing if Rajon Rondo starts? Like, if, let's say, you know, Lonzo, if it's because of health or readiness, whatever, doesn't quite win the starting spot over Rajon Rondo. Would that be what would your reaction to that? Like, let's say that's the headline right now. What's your instant reaction to that hypothetical headline?
I think, you know, I'd say it's a bad move even in the short term, because at the end of the day, sure, the Lakers have LeBron James and their championship window has opened tremendously by having LeBron James under contract for at least 3 years. I think my biggest thing is, if you're going to have Rondo in the starting lineup, I think you also need to have, I think you can have Lonzo Ball in the starting lineup with Rondo. And Luke Walton kind of alluded to that today, that you are going to see some lineups where Lonzo and Rondo are going to be together. And I think that works to Lonzo's benefit, because if you watched him at all in UCLA, he can play that off-ball role. He played that off-ball role with Aaron Holiday and did it really well, arguably better than the way they were utilizing him last year. So you put Lonzo off-ball with ball handlers like LeBron James, Rajon Rondo, and to a lesser extent, Brandon Ingram, you're putting him in a position to succeed. But benching him, I don't know what that would do for his development, especially when you have the guys on the bench that also need to come in with him. I mean, you have Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma that need to get their playing time too. So there's really no logic behind benching him, you know?
Yeah, I think earlier in the offseason, I would have reacted a little bit more vitriolically. I think I would have been a little bit more concerned about it. But given the injury and stuff, like, it wouldn't shock me. I would also probably say that that's a highly temporary move if that's the way that they decide to go with that.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, here is you got to think about, like you said, the guys on the bench who would be coming into the game with him. I just think Rajon Rondo fits better with those guys than Lonzo does. Like,
absolutely.
If you're putting Lonzo with those guys, well, now you're relying heavily on Lonzo to create for the rest of the guys on the bench with him. And I don't think that's necessarily what he's best at. Whereas if you have Rondo on the bench to create shots for all the guys on the, well, that's what he's done his whole career.
Yeah.
So I think some of the fit is going to be have to be taken into account, and then Lonzo Ball's development has to be taken into account here. And when you do all of the math there, I think it points to, look, even if Rajon Rondo is the better player, he has to like be blowing coaches away for him to earn a starting spot, just given the amount of sense it makes for Lonzo to start, in my opinion.
And I think the leg up, and I wrote this in my training camp preview, I think the leg up that Lonzo has is Luke Walton's infatuation with keeping units together. Mm-hmm. You're going to have three of the five starters coming back next year. And if you're Luke Walton, and if we've learned anything about Luke Walton, is that he really, really likes keeping his units together. So I'm guessing Lonzo Ball's just going to slide back into that starting point guard spot because he already has that chemistry with KCP and Brandon Ingram. So I think if there was any reason to believe that Lonzo Ball is going to be the starting point guard of the Lakers next year, it's because of how stubborn Luke Walton is with that.
Be stubborn, Luke. Stand by your guns.
Maybe. Yeah.
just ease. Because the other thing too is I just don't want to deal with how stupid Twitter would be if that move was made. Like, it would be, people would not react well to it. He'd be called a bust, he'd be called this, he'd be called that. That narrative would just not go away, and I just selfishly don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean it's different than, you know, Ronnie Price or Marcelo Huerta starting over D'Angelo Russell, you know. Rajon Rondo is somebody that made a huge impact in the playoffs last season. And he's still a very good basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the way that's not what Twitter would take away from it. What Twitter would take away from it is Rajon Rondo beat Lonzo Ball out of the starting spot at 32 years old.
Something like that.
I think, yeah, that's what everybody would run with. And unfortunately, a lot of people would just take it for what it is.
Yeah, I'm not. Stand by your guns, Luke. I don't need that in my life. Yeah. All right, that'll do it then for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, brought to you by a new partner of the show, Mazuma USA. Call that number, 213-947-6926. Tell them that I sent you and Locked On Lakers sent you, and they'll get you all set up. They've been great with me so far. I look forward to the rest of this partnership with them. Whether it's with Locked On Lakers, Locked On NBA, whatever, with the entire network, they've been great so far, and you guys thus far have been great in supporting our partners. So let's keep that rolling. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. Pete and I will talk, and Pete was actually in the building, so I'll push Pete to see what he thought about the proceedings. There's a lot of peas there. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Christian.
Yeah, no problem.